Are you ready to dip in?
Welcome to Season 2 of the Divine Intervention Podcast. We're your hosts,
Freya
and Holly, bringing you the pod where lifestyle meets spirituality.
Let's chat about personal growth, navigating life, and raising our vibrations together.
New episodes dropping every week.
Woo! Let's take the plunge. Welcome to episode 2 of season 2 of the Divine Intervention Podcast. It is 2024 and this is the right time to be talking about all things productivity. So that is what we're going to dip into today.
Yeah, I'm really keen for this episode because productivity is just something I really need to cultivate more of in my life. And, you know, it's a new year. It's the beginning of January. So let's go, baby. I need some more productivity.
Same. I really feel you. I feel like Holly and I, we started to try and hold each other a little bit more accountable and try to bring a little bit more routine into our lives. I would say at the beginning of December last year, which is definitely a challenging time to try and challenge yourself.
It was hard.
It was hard because it's the festive season. But now that we're in 2024, there should be no more excuses for us.
Yeah.
And we should get shit done. Can I say shit on this podcast?
Of course we can.
Oh, of course we can.
We can do whatever we want.
It's our podcast. We can do whatever we want. Excuse my language though. But yeah, so that's what we're going to get into today. But of course, we're going to start off first with our card of the week and our astro news of the week. Holly, what is going on in the stars?
Well, we have Sun in Capricorn and a new moon tomorrow in Capricorn. And so all of this Capricorn energy is, if I may say, bloody perfect for productivity.
I love that.
Yeah, great to launch the year. So Capricorn energy is very earthy, super ambitious, crazily driven and really disciplined. So this energy is the energy you want to harness if you want to invite in more productivity, if you want to invite in more boss bitch energy, you know, just like you said before, getting shit done, setting those goals to reach your high standards, really being like the best that you can be. And so falling on a new moon, this energy is all about manifestation. So setting those intentions and manifestations with this Capricorn energy to be the best person you want to be. So what kind of intention do you want to set for this month or even this year to be that best version?
It's just perfect the way it lines up with a new year to have that energy around and to be able to reset, set new goals and really hold yourself to it. I'm a Capricorn sun and I am very excited to tap into this side more because maybe Capricorn is known for its productivity, but being a Capricorn, it definitely doesn't always come out though. But I'm excited to dive deeper into that today.
Yeah, of course. And just quickly, with Capricorn being ruled by Saturn, with that comes a lot of responsibility and hard work and a little bit all work and no play. And so this energy is good to work with when you need to hold yourself accountable.
Love that. For the card of this week, I used an oracle deck instead of a tarot deck just to mix it up a little bit. And the card that came up is one about rebirth and transformation, shedding your old skin, shedding what no longer aligns with you, and making space for the new. Basically, releasing everything that is no longer serving you, whether that is something work-related, whether that is an old belief, a friendship, or a relationship that no longer serves you, or maybe even a habit. Simply let it go with love. Something about this card that I really like is that it reminds us that we should shed our skin, but bless it as we go, as it has served a purpose. It has helped us to transform. Maybe back in the day, it was something that we really needed in order to grow, or maybe something that protected us, but we no longer need it. Instead of resenting ourselves for what we were or what we used to be, we should give it love and light and know that it served a purpose. And open at the same time yourself for new things. Feel the room inside you for new habits and new energy. And this is something that we can really take with us going into the new year because it just has this fresh feeling to it. Open yourself to new possibilities, not with fear of what might come, but with trust that whatever the universe has planned for us will really serve us.
This is a great card for this week. What can we release but bless? We go, yes, thank you when you served me in the past, but I don't need you anymore. Shed that heaviness.
Shed the heaviness, tread with lightness, tread with love, not holding on and resenting things and just being like, okay, you know, now it's different. I got a new chance every day to rearrange my life or to be a different person, which is something beautiful. And like you said, it's great that it comes in the second week of the new year, because often we have all this long list of New Year's resolutions, and perhaps you're already not fulfilling them by the second week. Know that that is okay. And maybe, like you said, you're holding on to something from the past year and bringing it with you into the new year. So this is another chance to reset and look and say, is this really serving me still? Or am I trying to reach my new goals by my old habits? Try and release that.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
This is great energy for this week.
Great energy for this week.
Okay, Freya, let's talk about productivity. And I know we just said before that it's something that we struggled with in December, being the silly season. But fresh year, I really want to cultivate more productivity. So, yeah, what's something that really helps you with productivity?
Well, like you just mentioned, productivity is something that can be a struggle for me. So I definitely have a couple tips and tricks. However, I do know that I need to practice what I preach a little bit more. So I just want to share some things that I'm trying at the moment, or have been trying the last couple of weeks, to sort of boost that productivity level inside me a little bit more. I think we all know the saying, win the morning, win the day. So this is something that I've really been trying to embrace. Look, I'm going to confess, I snooze my alarm. I'm a snoozer. I'm a really hardcore snoozer. Also, unfortunately, when I wake up, I'm not that type of person that is immediately next to their bed. I sort of lay there for a little bit. My eyes are adjusting to the light. I'm like, okay, here we are again. You know,
you're not like full of beans from the get-go.
Not full of beans. Whereas like my partner, he's just like, bang, like alarm goes up and hop. Here he goes, does things.
People like that, sometimes I'm like, are you a robot? Because I can't wake up that quickly.
Maybe they're just programmed wired differently than us. But yeah, I can't. I just need a little bit of time. But for me, if I'm really honest, once again, I'm going to confess. For me, 5 minutes of snoozing can turn into 30 minutes, can turn into 45 minutes, and can then all of a sudden feel like, ugh, like I feel sluggish. I've just wasted an hour laying in bed, even though I enjoy laying in bed though.
But you could have had it, like an extra hour of quality sleep if you knew you'd wake up on that last alarm.
Exactly. Or potentially I also feel that I sort of beat myself up about it, because then I feel it makes me feel non-productive straight away because I've wasted an hour. Right? And this is obviously talking about a situation where I feel good. There's nothing going on with my health. I should be able to just get up and do things, you know? I feel like that is definitely a struggle. So I've been trying to win the morning. I've set a rule for myself by 6 a.m. And depending on the country where you're listening to this, in Australia, 6 a.m. is a very reasonable time, don't you think so?
Oh yeah, the sun's up, everyone's up, out and about in their active wear, getting their coffees, taking their dogs for a walk. So yeah, it's a very good time to wake up.
6 a.m. in Australia is not like, wow, you're so early. 6 a.m. is reasonable. I feel like 4 a.m., 4:30 is early. 5 is also sort of reasonable, so early, but reasonable. 6 is yeah. So I've been trying to say to myself, by 6 a.m., you got to get up and stand next to the bed. Be outside of the bed. Then I want to make sure that I make my bed to already have one task done. To just clean that bedroom is fresh, because a clean space really does help me with productivity. That's another thing that really helps. Another thing that I do once I'm out of the bed, I'm trying to incorporate a little bit more movement in my mornings. So whether that is an early Pilates class, like Holly and I have been doing it, we've been getting consistently to Pilates at 6:30.
It's been so good. Like I do love exercising, but sometimes I need a little bit of encouragement, especially at that hour of the morning. Safari's been so great. She comes and picks me up from my house. So I have no choice. I've got to be up, dressed, out the front of my house by 6 o'clock, and we're ready to go. So it's been really good working out together.
It's been so good working out together, and I need this too, because I feel like if it's just me, I can become a little bit more flaky because I'm tired the evening before, or I've worked till late, and I think, oh, do I really want to get up at 5:30 or earlier to go to Pilates? Not really. Maybe I'll just take the 8:30 class. But then when you do an 8:30 class, your whole morning is sort of already gone.
It's basically lunchtime by the time you're done.
It's basically lunchtime by the time you're done. And then my brain just goes, oh, it's already lunchtime anyway, so I might as well not do anything until 2 p.m.
Or that is like anti-productivity.
Anti-productivity. Yeah. So setting up your mornings a little bit better, I feel like can definitely help with productivity. Now, here is something that I want to ask your opinion on. What do you think about coffee in the morning? Increases or decreases productivity?
Oh, mate, this is a hard one because I love
controversial.
I love coffee, and I definitely don't have any nutritional qualifications behind me, but I love to have my coffee in the morning. But I did read something somewhere that says coffee like forces the body to wake up, so it doesn't let it wake up on its own. So then your body might become reliant on coffee. So then I kind of looked at that and I was like, okay, I think I read somewhere or research that it takes maybe 90 minutes for your body to wake up itself. So I've been trying to not have coffee for the first 90 minutes of my day. So if I wake up at 6, I can't have a coffee till 7:30.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard. Say I wake up late, like say I've slept in or something and I've woken up at 7:30 and then my boyfriend and I are up to go walk to the beach. We might grab a coffee on the way. So maybe I've had it in the first 30 minutes.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, like new year productivity, I probably should really try and stick to this 90 minute thing with coffee.
For sure. I think my naturopath said to me as well that it's really bad for your hormone balance to have it straight away in the morning. But yeah, it's just such a social thing to do. Like go for a walk, grab a coffee. So yeah, this is definitely something that I want to change because I don't want my productivity to be reliant on caffeine.
Yeah, but you could swap your coffee for like a chai latte a decaf or
a
tea or a juice.
So that's the easy one to basically tick off. Yeah, I kind of do. So what about your mornings? How's it going with your morning routine at this point in time?
I feel like my morning routine is a lot better since we've been doing Pilates. Yes. And I mean, Friar and I committed to hot girl summer.
Hot girl winter as well.
Hot girl, yeah. We're trying hot girl 2024.
Hot girl 2024.
So that has definitely helped me because I went through a few years of just being a little bit slack, being a bit sleepy. And so since we've implemented a couple of Pilates classes a week and I've been getting up to walk and run, that's boosted my productivity a lot, I would say. I love starting the day, like getting out of the house, whether that's going to the Pilates studio or getting down to the beach, to put my feet in the ocean, that kind of thing. So that whole like win the morning, win the day definitely applies to me if I've gotten out of the house into like the morning air and the morning sun.
Yeah.
And then I've maybe then got myself a treat, like a coffee, rewarded myself for getting out of bed. And then coming home and it's still only like 8 o'clock. And I'm like, this is the best. I still can have a shower and have some breakfast because sometimes when I'm super busy, I miss breakfast, which is so bad. So then I can prioritize my breakfast. Then I'm all set and ready to start work by 9. So that is the ideal morning. Mm-hmm. Sometimes if I've stayed up too late the night before watching a movie or, I don't know, out with friends, it almost could be like win the night before and the morning, win the day.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. Leading into that, like a nighttime routine is so important as well, to know what works for you, to know how much sleep you need to feel your best. That can really make a big difference. Do you set up things the day before or the night before for your morning? Let's say we go to Pilates, right? Do you lay out like your set that you're going to wear, or are you not that organized?
Well, I used to be like that. And last night I tried to get that habit again. I kind of like walked around my room and I was like, I've only just like reset up my wardrobe. So I was like, where are my bike shorts? And so I found them. I pulled my bike shorts out and then I was like, that'll do. And then I went to bed. normally I grab my undies, I grab my bike shorts, my crop top, my singlet, my Pilates socks,
She's ready. Half pack my bag.
I do it all the night before. That's for like a 6:30 class. If I'm not out the door that early, then maybe I wouldn't. But I definitely think setting some things up the night before.
Yeah.
And then in terms of like food prep, if I'm going to be continuing on for the day after Pilates the next day, I'll try and get a banana out or make sure there's like last night's dinner in a takeaway container in the fridge ready to go so I can grab it to take with me. So it's like setting those things up because, yes, gosh, when you wake up at 5:30 and you're half asleep and you're a zombie running around the house bumping into things, you're never going to sort your shit, are you?
You're never going to get it done. No, that's true. And I do think for me, there's a fine balance between preparing things where I feel productive and set up for the day or being annoyed with having to do too many preparation things, right? There are so many things that we can do to prepare meal prep, laying out your clothes for the week, planning your days to a T. Like there's so much work that goes into that. I feel like if it's too much, I'm like, eh, I don't want to do it. Because I still want to flow a little bit.
Yeah.
How the morning goes.
Don't you like the day?
Yes.
I know that you like planning out.
Absolutely.
Like hour by hour what you're going to do.
Yes.
Do you think that that helps with your productivity so you kind of know what your day is going to look like? You can kind of get to, I don't know, 11:30 in the morning and be like, am I on track for my day? Tick, tick. Or no, I haven't got that done. Or no, I cuddled my dog for too long. I didn't get that done.
Winston listening to this, Winston, my Italian ground, he's like, yeah, that definitely happens every day. High priority though. High priority. No, definitely. I feel like when I worked back home, in my corporate job, I had so many different things to do. I had like 70 cases at the time. And I noticed that if I wouldn't plan out my days, I would, one, spend way too long on one task. Because there are just things in life, especially in the work field, they can take from, let's say, 30 minutes to forever. Writing a letter, writing an email, editing something. You can spend as much time on it, perfecting it as you like. Everyone listening that is a perfectionist or slightly inclined that way will feel and recognize this. You can spend so much time tweaking little details, and I really try to not do that. So in that way, time blocking has helped me enormous. So basically, I plan out my days from when I start, not even when I start working, like literally from I'm getting up at this time, then I'm going to Pilates. Then between 9 and 10, I'm doing task A. Between 10 and 10:30, I'm doing task B all the way until the evening. I feel like it helps me a lot because it sort of slows down my perfectionism because I just have to get things done within that time frame. At the same time, if I'm unsuccessful in ticking off the task, it is tempting to just look at that schedule and go, oh, well, I guess today is going off the rails completely. Never mind. I might as well give up on the whole schedule anyway.
Yeah, I completely get you on that. This is totally your like Capricorn sun, Virgo rising energy, like wanting to plan it all out. And then at some point just going like, fuck this shit. I don't want to do it anymore. That's so funny. So funny. I love the time blocking thing. And it's definitely something that I feel is going to help me. And I've done it a little bit in the past, but if I don't really have a plan for the week, I feel like it's hard. If you work from home or you work for, you're a bit of a freelancer and you have a few things on your plate, time blocking is almost a necessity because you just kind of get to, I don't know, Friday lunchtime and you're like, oh shit, I didn't do this and I didn't do that. And so I'm going to try and cultivate time blocking.
Good. Good.
That's something I think that will really help my productivity. I don't like a super strict schedule because I tend to rebel against that, like typical Aquarian. So I need a little bit of room for flexibility.
Yes.
But minimizing distractions is one thing that helps me with productivity. And again, I think it's the same. If you work from home or work from an office, there's always going to be, or whatever field you work in, there's always going to be opportunity for distraction.
Yeah. So what distracts you the most on a day-to-day work day?
If we're talking work, it's definitely people in my environment. So if my housemates are home and maybe they're having fun and doing something and I've got FOMO, that's the worst. My phone. So like if my phone is buzzing off, so I'm quite social. I have like events going on. So if a text message is coming through or the messenger's going off, yeah, whatever's happening, that distracts me. And so it pulls my attention away. And then it takes me, I think it's a proven science experiment thing where takes you like 30 minutes to get back into the task once you've been distracted.
So such a long time.
The phone is a huge thing.
Yeah.
Because our brains actually can't multitask. We can only do one thing at a time.
Very true. Does the phone go on do not disturb?
So when I'm aware of it and I'm like, right, I really need to like knuckle down and focus, my music goes on, headphones, and I put my phone on do not disturb. And I try and put my phone like on the other side of the room.
Yes, I feel like I need to do that. I feel like I almost need to lock it away sometimes. Oh, it's so tempting to be on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy to me. Like, I feel like I'm a little bit addicted at this moment in time. Also, working in marketing, you have to be on your phone a fair bit for work, which is not helping because you're on your phone and you see a notification come through and you're like, So I totally agree with you. It's definitely something I can work on to improve as well, minimize those distractions. And I feel like if you're an energy person, you pick off energy of the people around you. Working in an office, if everyone is like a little bit funny, not really focused, being social, so hard to focus. Now working for myself and being alone a lot of the time, I do kind of miss having someone there that holds me accountable, because it's really hard when you make your own schedule. So basically you're the one putting the rules down, but you're also the one checking on it if you're doing it. It's really hard.
This is why, like, you and I have been trying to keep each other accountable. And, like, I love, from living in Bali, I love cafe culture of taking my laptop to a cafe. Well, when I was in Bali, I would put my headphones in and I'd get my coffee and I'd zone in and do a really good working block. And so with you and I trying to do that now and like one cafe working session a week, it's amazing. I love getting out of the house, love working from a cafe, but then it's so tempting to just chat socially with you. I'm so bad for it.
I feel like on Monday when we did our session, like, did we do much work?
Oh, we were probably there for 3 hours and I reckon I did 3 minutes of work, literally.
3 minutes.
So yeah, so that's another distraction. Like,
yeah,
you know, when you are with a close friend,
yes,
that can also be distracting. So you then, I guess, if you're going to work with a friend, you've got to be like, right, we need to go into work zone.
Absolutely.
Both put your headphones in, get on with it.
We need to get better at this.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel like another thing that we do really well is we say, okay, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are our highest productivity days. Holly and I both work with different clients. So we're saying those days are very much dedicated to that. Then on Monday and Friday, we might also do work for our clients, but also we have a little bit of room to work a little bit on our creative projects, like the podcast, like tarot, like astrology, which is nice to sort of have those slower days. I genuinely believe that no person can be productive for 8 hours per day.
No way.
There is no way.
No way.
No way. So I hope for people in corporate jobs that eventually they're going to incorporate shorter days. Do four or five hour days and just come in and just smash it out.
100%. I reckon that I could do just as much work under the pump in 4 hours as I could in 8 hours.
Definitely. And speaking of under the pump, this is something I realized about myself a little while ago. So you either are a person that thrives under pressure or you're not. I love a little bit of pressure. If I don't have enough pressure, I get bored and I get a little bit like, you know, I got all the time in the world to do that, which is not great for my productivity. What about you? Do you feel like you thrive under pressure more, Holly, or?
I feel like I need a deadline so that I can kind of plan out my time of how I'm going to get that task done. Working for yourself or working remotely, you definitely need to hold yourself more accountable, which I find harder. Whereas if you're in an office or in a shop or wherever you're working and your boss is there or your coworkers are there and it's kind of like, yeah, we're here to work, that's different. So I tend to crack under pressure. Like, oh, it's a different kind of pressure, actually. I don't crack. I just cry and I get overwhelmed and I snap at my boyfriend. I turn into a little bit of a bitch.
Poor Ryan.
Poor Ryan, especially if I'm in like a certain cycle of my menstrual cycle. Yeah, what do they say? Pressure makes diamonds.
Yes.
That's the same.
It doesn't make the diamond for you.
No, you got to make the diamond. What?
I don't think this is a saying. I was like trying to say to you, your diamond is not being formed when you're under pressure. Your diamond cracks.
You know, my diamond cracks. Yeah, it's a balance for me. And isn't life just a balance in general? It's a balance. Need enough pressure to keep me accountable, but not too much pressure so that I just get overwhelmed and have a meltdown.
Yeah, just that fine middle ground.
Mm.
And this is another thing that I wanted to dip into a little bit deeper side of things. So I've been reflecting on this for the last couple of weeks. It's so hard for me to feel productive. And I was thinking about it. What do I need to do to, at the end of the day, sit down and be like, wow, that was a productive day? And I came to the conclusion that I have to do a lot in order to feel productive.
Right.
So I was reflecting on that and I came to the conclusion everyone's standard for productivity is different. Being a perfectionist, being a Capricorn, being a Virgo, I'm probably leaning towards a really, really high standard of what it means to be productive. So while I'm working on being more productive, I'm also trying to work on bringing my standard for productivity down a little bit.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
Because I would love to feel more often, wow, I was productive. Because I can do everything that needs to be done on that day and still not feel productive.
I find that in terms of feeling accomplished at the end of the day, if I have ticked off some things that are starting to stress me out, I feel accomplished. Yes. And I feel like I've been productive. Yeah, in saying that, maybe I look at my that might be a good strategy for this year for me, looking at the tasks for that day, not just work-related, because life admin, I never have time for life admin. Like, I still need to change my address on my driver's license, that kind of stuff, you know?
Yes.
Or Christmas shopping, you know? Back in December, I just, like, didn't make time for Christmas shopping. So I guess if you write down the things that you would like to achieve that day and then prioritize them of what is stressing me out the most, what needs to get done the earliest, maybe try and tick those ones off first. And if the less time sensitive tasks don't get done that day, maybe that's not as big of a stress and they can be pushed over into the next day.
So it's interesting, right? Because for you then, something needs to start slowly stressing you out in order for you to do it. Is that right?
Pretty much.
I feel like I'm the same. See, I'm the same, but I feel like for me to feel more productive, I feel like I need to do more than just the things that stress me out. Because I feel bothered if there's so many, I have so many things at this point in time lingering in the background, like in my personal life. Like, I need to do my new visa application for my partner visa in the next phase. We're going to move to Sydney pretty soon. I need to plan a wedding, you know, so many things. So if I look at it, if I look at my to-do list, I feel like I can be doing something every day, 12 hours per day, but I'm not. And that is probably making me feel less productive too. But I feel like the more I do, the more shit there is to do, causing me to not want to do anything.
Oh my God, like cleaning. The more you clean.
Oh, the more you clean.
The more dirt you find.
Oh, I can't.
And then you just want to give up and not want to do any cleaning.
I've become a clean girl in the last 8 months. Before this, I was messy. I think it's just a part of growing up. Like, you get your own house, you start to invest a little bit more in furniture and making it look cozy. And then all of a sudden, you start cleaning and you start to get into cleaning. And then you realize, like you said, the more you clean, the more there is to clean.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I could be cleaning every day, 12 hours per day, and it still wouldn't be clean. Well, it would be fairly clean, but I feel like, yeah.
But it's funny that we've said that having a clean and tidy environment makes us more productive.
Yes.
Like you said, you get up first thing in the morning and make your bed. I'm the same. If I'm working from home and I know there's a load of washing to be done, or just like things need to be tidied, or dishes need to be done, I feel like I can't start my workday until all of that's done. So 100%. That a clean environment helps me feel more productive.
For sure. And I feel like I've been working on two new clean non-negotiables. Before you go to bed, always grab away any teacups, mugs, glasses that are laying around, so that in the morning when you wake up, it's a clean, fresh space. There's nothing old energy from the night before. Also for me, and this is one I struggle with, it is so tempting to work from the couch, from your bed,
mate. Yep.
From your living room table. I have a desk at home. You have a desk at home. I should be sitting at this desk, but sometimes it's hard.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because like if you're working from home, then the lines are blurred there between your working space and your home space. And like I worked a lot from my bed in Bali, depending on what accommodation I was staying in. So I made an exception there, but when I'm at home, this is probably the first, because I've moved into a new house, so this is probably the first house I've had where I've had a dedicated study rather than sitting at the kitchen bench or sitting at the kitchen table. So I think it is important to have like a space at home that is like going to work space. I agree, like kitchen table or kitchen bench isn't too bad if for whatever reason you can't be in your study, but couch is super comfy. You're then tempted to just put something on the TV in the background, yes, like the Taylor Swift concert.
Oh, and I've been watching the whole concert for 3 hours.
Distractions, yeah. Distractions. Okay, so Freya, what have we established here? We've established clean environment, tidy environment helps with productivity, minimizing distractions, winning the morning to win the day.
Setting yourself up for success in the evenings as well, having a good amount of sleep that works for you, having things planned out, knowing what you're going to do the next day, and writing that down into a time schedule. Also, if you can, try and find someone or a community that can help you be held accountable and that you can chat with and say, okay, I've done all my tasks today.
Yeah, so then someone can turn around and be like, so good, so did I. Or you can commit to one another and be like, right, we are going to have set this goal, if it's on a Monday, that by Friday, we're both going to have ticked off 5 big tasks. And then you meet again on Friday. And then, and then you can both be like, woohoo, go us.
I love it. And I think, like, obviously, it's so great to talk about productivity. And this is both the area where, you know, we want to grow in and we want to get better at. But, you know, you always need to keep in mind that life is not stagnant. Life flows. How we feel emotionally and energetically moves as well. So always try and lean into that too. We can't always feel, wow, I was so productive today. I would love to feel like that every day, but some days it's just not it.
It's like that balance between masculine energy and feminine energy, because I feel like for me, like productivity and getting shit done is in my masculine energy.
Yes.
And my feminine energy is the one that flows with life, listens to the intuition, surrenders a little bit more. So sometimes if I'm like, okay, today I'm going to honor my divine feminine, I'll just bloody sit on the couch all day. Or I'll be like, what does my body feel like doing? Oh, I feel like going for a walk and focusing on my creativity. So it's like finding that balance between exactly what you just said about setting your goals, writing your schedule and sticking to it, but then being open to flow and move and morph and change with life a little bit.
For sure. And also, I feel like I'm a star at doing this. Like I said before, you wake up and you lay in bed for an extra hour, then you feel unproductive. And I feel like I sort of get attached to that feeling. So I'm like, okay, well, I guess my morning didn't start productive. I guess I can just throw away this day because it's not productive anymore. I feel like releasing that attachment to it, to that non-productive energy, because you can change it at any point in time. We shouldn't, or I shouldn't, just throw away the day if the morning hasn't gone how I wanted it to go. And be kind to yourself as well.
Yeah, being kind to yourself throughout this like productivity go-getter, Kickstarter energy, it's a really important part of it, because you can't be hard on yourself if you didn't achieve the things you set out to achieve. So you can't be too hard on yourself. So it's that balance between holding yourself accountable but cutting yourself a little bit of slack when life changes or moves or you feel a little bit different that day.
Absolutely. Well, it was so good to chat about productivity with you today, Holly. Dippers, please do let us know what you thought of this episode, whether any of these tips really resonate with you and you think, yeah, I'm going to implement that in my life. Please show us your time schedules, all the planning that you're doing, your made up beds at 6 a.m. in the morning. We want to see it. We're holding you accountable. And yeah, I look forward to next week's episode.
Yeah, love talking about productivity today. Really great topic to kick the year off. Yeah, we hope you all enjoyed the podcast and we will see you next time.
Until our paths align again.
We'll see you at the next dip.